give the Lord some praise. Got your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of 3 John. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great job tonight. Amen. Tonight, amen. Turn with me to the book of 3 John. Amen. This is a small letter or book in the Bible. It's one page, one chapter. Right before Jude, towards the end of your Bible. Jude is right before Revelations. And this book, of course, gets its name from the author of the book, which is known to be the Apostle John, that was also the disciple of Jesus, the one that is known to be the one whom Jesus loved. Also the writer of Revelations and the Gospel of John. And then he also wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. So tonight I want to share with you a message I entitled Creating a Godly Legacy. Creating a Godly Legacy. And I think that John, as we study this book of John, or this, the Apostle John, this is what he was able to do throughout his lifetime, of course, as being a disciple of Christ. And then also, you know, not only being a disciple of Christ, but then becoming an apostle and doing the work of the ministry, discipling many, reaching many people, discipling many men and women. You know, he left a godly legacy, you know. Even with his writings that we have in our Bible, you know, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelations. When you look at his life, he was able to leave something back. And that's what it means to create a godly legacy. Amen? Amen. So if you're there, give me an amen.
Amen.
We're going to start reading from verse 1, and we're going to read all the way through verse 8. The Word of God reads like this. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the faith, or whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Father, bless the reading of your word anointed to our hearts here tonight. Lord, minister to our lives in a special way. We thank you so much for your anointing and your presence here with us. I pray that you speak to all of our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. What is a godly legacy? A godly legacy is a godly lineage. Godly lineage. Here in Victory Irish Grand Prairie, we have a godly lineage.
Amen.
We've been cut from a good rock.
Right.
A godly legacy is a godly bloodline. We have that in our ministry. We have we know where we come from. You know where we come from. You see the legacy that is before us. That our ministry, that we came as a church, we were birthed through Victory Outreach Dallas. And they were birthed through Victory Outreach San Jose, California. And Victory San Jose was also came from, you know, Pastor Sonny and the mother church. So we see that we have a godly legacy. And through that, not just of churches, but also of Christians and of believers that have been birthed through these churches.
Amen.
See, to leave a godly legacy is a trace back to godliness. It's a trace back of godliness to individuals. A trace back of godliness to individuals. What does that mean? That means that, for example, when it comes down to our ministry, we could trace down our legacy all the way down to an individual, which was even David Wilkerson,
the founder of
Times Square Church in New York.
He's the one who started
a teen challenge and reached Nikki Cruz. And Nikki Cruz was influential in reaching Pastor Sonny. Him and David Wilkerson reached Pastor Sonny Argonzoni on the streets when Pastor Sonny was a heroin addict in the streets of New York and sticking heroin in his veins. And he got saved through the ministry of teen challenge through David Wilkerson and Nikki Cruz. And then from there, the ministry of Victory Outreach was birthed through Pastor Sonny.
Right.
See, that's what it is to trace back a trace back of godliness to individuals. See, a godly legacy is so powerful, it's so important. I don't know about you, but I want to leave a godly legacy. Does anybody else want to leave a godly legacy? You know, before I got saved, I was not going to leave no legacy at all. You know what I was going to leave back? I wouldn't have left back a legacy, but I would have left back, I would have been known for something. I said I would have been known for something.
Yeah.
If I would have continued in my old lifestyle, my old ways of being a gang member, being a drug addict, and being a criminal and a thief and a gang member, if I would have continued that, I wouldn't have left a legacy, but people would have known me by something. My kids would have known me by being a deadbeat dad.
Wow, come on.
They would have known me by being my dad who was locked up. Who was always in and out of jail. Who was always in and out of prison. Or my dad that got killed in a drug transaction gone wrong. Or my dad that was killed in a drive-by rival gang shooting. Or my dad that died off of a drug overdose.
Wow.
I would have not left a legacy, but I would have been known by something.
Yeah.
I would have been known by that for a little while. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Huh? But I would have been known to the police. Come on.
Uh-huh.
I would have been known by the judge, but you know they only know you for a little bit, and then you only become a number.
Yeah.
Then you only become a statistic.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't have left the legacy. I would have just been known by, and many of us have that same rapport.
Wow, right.
Now you have an opportunity to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we have an opportunity to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
You say, well, a legacy doesn't matter. You know, there's a song that says, you know, it's a Christian song. And, you know, praise God. I don't, you know, but it does bother me a little bit, this Christian song. You know, and you know, it's cool. The guy means well. I just heard it like once or twice on the radio. And it says, you know, when I die, I don't want people to know my name. I don't think them to know my name as long as they know his name. And that's good. That's great. You know? But let me tell you something. Men like Martin Luther King Jr. Left a legacy.
Amen.
Men like Billy Graham left a legacy.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Something to outlive them. Mm-hmm. And listen, their motive wasn't for people to know their name.
Amen.
My motive, I don't care if people know my name when I die. But listen, I do want to make an impact in people's lives.
Yeah.
And whether I like it or not, if I make an impact in somebody's life, they're going to know my name.
Yeah, right.
They're gonna. My name will be attached to the name above all names.
Amen.
The name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus produces greatness in our lives.
Right.
And I want you to know that we're connected to a great name. We're connected to a great legacy. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. And listen, when you're connected to a great name, you will leave a legacy behind.
Right.
Because that name has so much power.
Yeah.
We do ministry in that name. We pray in that name. We cast out demons and devils in that name. Yeah. We pray for miracles in that name. Yeah. We believe God in that name.
Yeah.
So we understand, listen, a legacy is so important. Leaving back, creating a godly legacy is important. And I want to leave a godly legacy.
Right, amen.
I want to leave a godly legacy. Right. See, legacy is what we are known. Legacy is what we are known by, or what we will be known, or what we will be known by when we're gone. When we're gone, will we have left the legacy behind? Listen, some people leave some things back for their children. That's great. Some people leave some things back for their great-grandchildren or their grandchildren. Others leave some things back for the community. And some leave some things back for their city. But then there are those that leave something back for the world. And that's legacy. That's legacy, my friend. Here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we're not just building a church, but we are building a godly legacy.
Amen.
That will outlive us.
Right. Amen.
We're not just building a church.
Right.
Huh? We're not just building a church. We are building a godly legacy. Amen. That will outlive you and I.
Right.
Huh? We're building something for our children. And our children's children.
Amen.
Huh? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Huh? That's what we're doing. When we talk about building a godly legacy, we're talking about building something that will outlive us and that will outlast us. We're talking about building something that, listen, that Jesus said, and he said, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, it's going to last the test of time. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came down to this earth, and he said, I will build my church, Peter. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That was over 2,000 years ago. And guess what? 2,000 years later, the church of God is still going forward. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus left something that made an impact. And listen, we just carry that vision forward. We're just continuing the vision that Jesus said of what? To build his church. And we're not talking about the building, because we are the church as the people of God. You aren't the church by yourself. You're the church when you gather with the Christians, when you gather with the believers, we become the body of Christ.
That's right. Come on now.
That's what we're building. Something that will outlast us. That will outlast us. Tonight, I want to give you the four F's that go into building a godly legacy. Let me give them to you real quick ahead of time, and then I'll break them down. It's friends, family, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. Friends, family, faithfulness, and fruitfulness. These four things will help us build a godly legacy. Number one, friends. We talk about friends. Listen, if we're going to build a godly legacy, if you're going to build a godly legacy in your family, in your city, in your church, you're going to need godly friends.
Amen. Right.
That's true.
That's how true.
Amen. Huh? Godly. Because we're talking about building a godly legacy. Not a worldly legacy.
Come on,
huh? Not a worldly legacy. See, there's some that build worldly legacies. Like, you know, Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, Lord.
Huh? You see her picture everywhere. Yeah. Right? She built a worldly legacy.
Yeah.
Huh? The Beatles. You hear about them everywhere. They built a worldly legacy.
Yeah.
Huh? Tupac.
Yeah.
You see his face on t-shirts and everything. Why? They built a worldly legacy. We're talking about building a godly legacy.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to build a godly legacy, you're going to need godly friends.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. See, when we get saved, we must learn what true friendship looks like. Because, you know, we get saved And we have our worldly friends and our old friends. And we have a mentality of what a friend should look like or what a friend is. You know, we think that a friend is just somebody who hangs out with us, a road dog, you know. We think that's a friend, my friend. No, but when we get saved, you know, we have to understand and we got to learn what a godly friend looks like.
Amen.
See here, for John says, the elder John the Beloved, he says to my dear friend Gaius in verse 1. To my dear friend Gaius. What do we see? We see the Apostle John having a friend.
Yeah.
Having a friend in the ministry. Having a friend in the faith. Having a friend in the church.
But
the first thing we see here is that what a friend is, the Apostle John says, whom I love in the truth. See, godly friendship is based on godly truth. Godly friendship is based on godly truth. Not the truth that you not the opinion of your friends.
Oh, you gotta tell the truth on that.
But on godly truth that is based from the Word of God.
Amen. Yes.
Godly truth that comes from the Scriptures. Godly truth that comes from God, from God Himself. That's friendship. If we're gonna leave a godly legacy, listen, you are who you hang around with.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta be careful the circle that you're around, that who surrounds you.
Yes.
Yeah, is it the people surrounding you? Are they filled with godly truth?
Come on.
Are they filled with the Word of God? Are they filled with the Holy Spirit? Are they filled with power? Are they filled with the Word of God, with the wisdom that comes from God's Word? Or are they filled with the wisdom of the world? See, there's what you call the wisdom of the world.
Yeah.
The wisdom of the world would teach you how to climb the corporate ladder. The wisdom of the world would teach you how to, you know, not get, you know, dealt with in the neighborhood. But is it godly wisdom? See, John said a friend is somebody who loves the truth of God's word.
Amen.
A friend is somebody who loves the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life.
Yes.
Huh? See, a godly friendship is a godly friend is somebody who loves Jesus.
Amen.
Who's a Christian. Somebody who loves the Lord. And if you're going to leave a godly legacy, you're going to have people that love the truth.
Yeah.
And if they're not a Christian, they don't love the truth.
Right.
If they're not a believer in Christ, they don't love the truth.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
Huh? This is why it's important. We got to have godly friends in our life. Listen, a friend is somebody who will tell you the truth even when it hurts.
Amen.
That's what a friend is. Even when it hurts, a friend is somebody who says when they see you earn, when they see you going the wrong way, listen, they care about you and they love you, but they'll step on your feelings if they have to, because they want to spare you. They want to spare you. See, a friend is also not only somebody who loves the truth, but a friend is somebody who prays for you.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. John says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. See, a friend is not only somebody that tells you the truth, but a friend is somebody who prays for you and who prays with you. Do you have those type of friends? Those friends that pray for you and that will pray with you. I mean, really pray.
Come on,
not just say they're going to pray.
Come on.
But really pray. Because sometimes as Christians, we tell people, I'm going to keep you in my prayers. I'm going to pray. But do you really pray for them?
Come on.
This is why when I tell people that, I pray for them right there and then.
That's right.
When I say I'm going to pray for you, I pray. I bow my head, Lord. I pray for Brother Son. I pray for. Come on now.
Right. That's good.
Because I don't want to be a liar.
That's true.
Huh?
It's true.
Do you really have people? Do you, a friend is somebody who prays for you.
Come on, man.
Who prays with you? Who encourages you to pray?
Yes, good.
Do you have a friend that encourages you? See, the friend that encourages you to pray is the friend that prays.
See, this is why we're friends.
This is why we're friends. Why? Because we say come early for prayer at 6:30. But you still get here at 7:30.
Oh, Lord.
Leaders, amen. Pray. And what happens when you come early? See, when we have prayer, why? Because listen, we want to be that friend that encourages you to pray.
Yes. Amen.
See, when you see somebody pray, you're like, man, that, I don't know about you, but when I see somebody pray, it motivates me to pray.
Come on.
When I come in here and I see Sean's always here early for prayer. That's a good worship leader right there. Amen. Continue to be, you know. Hey, encourages me, man. I need to beat Sean to the church. The homes, the men's, women's, they always say they're here early for prayer. That encourages me to be
that's
early
right,
for prayer.
Right.
I hope that I'm an encouragement when you see me here early for prayer.
Yeah.
To come and say, man, we got to pray.
Amen.
Huh? Because a true friend knows you pray, you stay.
Yeah.
Huh? You pray, you stay. You more prayer, more power.
That's right.
Huh? Little prayer, little power. See, a true friend is a friend who prays for you and prays with you and encourages you to pray.
Amen.
This is what John was saying. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is going along well. See, a friend is also someone who is concerned for your physical and spiritual health. A true friend. Listen, a true friend is somebody, there's somebody that's concerned for your physical and spiritual health. They're concerned, first of all, spiritually for your life. First of all, not physically, but first of all, spiritually. Because if you die physically, there ain't nothing we can do about that. But we can do something about your soul. Come on, somebody. There's a sure foundation for your soul. So are you living right? Are you right with God?
Right.
Have you repented? Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned away?
Come on.
See, that's a real friend. A real friend ain't gonna tickle your ear. But a real friend's gonna tell you the truth. Because they're concerned for your spiritual health. They're concerned. He says, as your soul prospereth. They're concerned for your soul.
Oh, now that's right.
A true friend is concerned for your soul.
Yeah, that's right.
For your soul. How's your soul doing? Have you been getting some soul food lately? Have you been in the Word?
Come on.
Have you been reading? Have you been praying? Have you been fasting? Have you been going to church? Have you been worshiping God? Have you been connected to the vine?
That's a good word.
See, a true friend is concerned about that.
Yeah.
Huh? See, you're going to build a godly legacy. Why am I saying this? You are who you hang around with. Whoever you're hanging around with, my friend, if you're hanging around godly friends, then you're going to become a godly man, a godly woman.
Yeah.
But if you're hanging around worldly friends and worldly people all the time, my friend, that's what's going to rub off on you. Then a good friend is also concerned for you physically. Are you eating? Hello, somebody. Do you have a roof over your head?
Yes.
They can't do it all, my friend.
Come on.
Huh? They can't do it all. But they're concerned for you.
Come on, yeah.
Are you taking care of yourself? If you're sick, are you taking your medicine? Come on, somebody.
Hello, somebody.
Come on, huh? See, we're talking about leaving a godly legacy. Listen, we're going to leave a godly legacy through godly friends.
Yes.
Because see, our friends, our godly friends are the ones sometimes that are going to get us through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes.
Yes.
See, good godly friends, you know, while they're there to encourage you spiritually, but they're also there to pray for you.
Right.
They're your prayer partners.
Yeah. Come on.
Friendship in church, in the ministry is important.
Yes.
It is important.
Right there.
It is so important. You read in the Bible, David had Jonathan.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Paul had Barnabas.
Come on now, break it down.
You know, Peter had John and James, yes, and all the other apostles.
Good.
Huh? There was friendships there. Even right. You know, there was friendships that were built there. John had Gaius. Mm. Friendship is so important.
Right.
This is why, listen, quit making enemies in the church. The church ain't your enemy.
Yes. Oh. Come on.
Friends.
Yes. So heavy.
You know, we're not your enemies. The devil's the enemy.
Right. Right. Come on.
The devil's the enemy.
Yeah, right.
The devil wants to turn us against each other.
Yeah.
But you gotta recognize and realize. Huh? Who's behind it all?
Come on.
Wow.
This is why in friendship there's no room for gossip.
Mm. Right. Come on now.
Or slander.
Oh, wow, man. Heavy stuff.
You gotta be careful if you're gonna be a good friend. We're gonna have to be good friends.
Heavy.
And we gotta guard our mouth.
Right. Yes.
Yeah,
Come on.
Because loose lips sink ships.
Yeah.
We gotta guard our mouth. We gotta guard our heart.
Yes.
You gotta guard your ears. You can't be somebody else's trash can.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Because some people, they love to pour all their junk on you.
Wow.
They pour all their junk on you. And you know what? It begins to affect you. It begins to affect your heart.
Yes.
It's true.
It's good. Huh?
And all of a sudden, you wonder why poison is coming out of you. Because somewhere, somebody infected you.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a true friend. See, and even us being a friend to say, you know, hey, sometimes it takes us. Remember, open rebuke is better than hidden love.
That's right.
When somebody wants to gossip or slander, you say, you know what? Stop right there.
That's right. It's good.
Just stop right there. I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
I love you, bro. I love you, but stop right there. Or I'm going to walk away right now.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Come on. Yeah.
And you know what it does? See, that's not you being mean.
Mm.
That's you allowing the Holy Spirit to use you.
Amen.
And when you walk away, hopefully they feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they
will.
Now the Holy Spirit will do his job.
Yes. That's right.
They will either get better or bitter.
Ooh.
They will either, you will either get better or bitter.
Mm.
Listen, self-control allows you not to get bitter. Self-control allows you to say, I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. They put me in check. They rebuke me. You know what? Amen. I'm going to receive my medicine.
Hey, come on.
And I don't need to be talking like that. And I don't need to be hot. Come on, somebody. I need to change. See, it's not only having godly friends around you, but it's being a godly friend. It's not just about having godly friends around you, but it's about being a godly friend.
Yeah.
Are you a godly friend?
Come on now.
Amen.
That's good.
Because if we're gonna build a godly legacy, then we're gonna have to be godly friends. If we're talking about hanging around godly friends, then we gotta be those godly friends for people. And then from friends we become family.
Yeah.
Verse 5 says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters." For the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you.
Yeah.
You know, last week we had a great time with the drama.
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, it wasn't a great turnout at the drama. It wasn't a packed house. Souls got saved.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, the first showing was, you know, halfway full.
Yeah.
You know, not halfway empty, halfway full.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, because we're optimists, not pessimists.
Yeah.
Is the cup halfway empty or is it halfway full?
Halfway full.
Huh? It was halfway full, you know, and people got saved. You know, but you know, be honest, we wanted to pack that thing two times overflowing, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, even though it was still a success, you know why? Because, you know, as a church, we came together.
Yes.
Right.
And you know, many of us hosted and we cooked for people and we opened up our houses and our homes and we gave people rides and to the church of Vicharge, Heart of the Bay, and they came and these were your brothers and sisters. But yet they were strangers to you. You never met them. You never seen them. You never heard of them. But yet you still cooked for them. Yet you still picked them up. Yet you still opened up your house. Yet you still were kind to them. Why? Because we understood that they're our brother and sisters. They're our brother from another mother. Come on, somebody. Our sister from another mister. But yet they're family. They're family. They may not be Tejanos, but they're it's not in even not about being Vitriarchs, but they're Christians.
Yeah,
come on, somebody, even though they were Vitriarchs.
Right.
They were family. They were family. In some of the women's home they were serving, they had my wife host. We had about 10 people staying at my house from the drama team. I don't know where we put them. We put them somewhere. My wife and the sister was serving them, and then after they left, one of the sisters told my wife, "This is Sister Sylvia. They were just like us." Whatever that meant, amen. I know what she meant. We got the same DNA. We got the same bloodline. We've been cut from the same rock. We got the same vision. We got the same passion. We got the same purpose. We got the same commission to reach the lost at any cost, to plant a church in every major city in the world, to reach the world for Jesus. That's the same DNA. That's the same purpose that's pumping inside of our hearts. And even though we may not have never seen them, they're family because they're brothers and sisters.
Right.
When I looked at that and I seen the church hosting them and I seen the church serving them, I said, we won.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I said, we won. It was a success. It was victory. See, friends. See, we become from friends, we become family because of Christ's love and because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Because of the love of Christ and because of his sacrifice, we have become family. Jesus makes us family.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus makes us family.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, that blood is stronger than our family blood.
Yes.
That's right.
You know, I got a new Cowboys hat this week.
Amen.
I bless myself. I spoil myself. Amen. They bought me a Cowboys hat.
Amen.
And then the guy said, "Hey, for $5, we'll stitch it up for you." I said, "What? Stitch it up then? What do you want me to put on it?" I said, "Put Segoviano, my last name." And then he got me again. "Hey, it's buy one, get one half off." I said, "What? Give me another hat then. Stitch that one up too." He said, "What I'll put on it?" "Put VOGP."
Yeah.
I'm going to be sporting some new hats. But you know, the blood of Jesus is stronger than my family blood.
That's right.
It's stronger than my family's blood. Huh? Yes, I got my dad's blood through my black dad's blood running through my veins. I got the DNA of a Segoviano, but let me tell you something. The blood of Jesus is stronger than your family bloodline. Listen, your family name, my friend, will be in heaven, will be erased. Oh, but we will carry the name that is above all names. The name of Jesus in heaven, Segoviano, will not mean nothing, my friend. Only the name of Christ will mean. Only the blood of Christ, my friend, will last eternity.
Right.
That's what makes us family.
Yes.
Even though I may seem like a stranger to you, if we're both Christians, we are family.
That's right.
And we must strive to treat each other as such.
That's good.
Even though I may seem like a stranger to you, some of you, the blood of Jesus makes us family.
Yes, right.
And we must strive to treat each other like family.
Right.
We must strive to treat each other like, I don't mean we gotta be like the what do you call it, the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Right?
You better tell the truth up in here.
Or Full House, you know. Right? You know, we're more like, you know, I don't know. Amen. I don't even want to say it. I'll just have to say something. We can't destroy the family, but we got to build up the family.
Yes.
As brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, if we're going to build a godly legacy, not only do we got to have godly friends, but we got to be a godly family. We got to raise godly families.
Amen.
Right.
This is why it's so important, like services like Father's Day and Mother's Day, and when we talk about the family, it's so important that, listen, we understand that God has to be the center of our family. It doesn't matter if you're a single mom or if you're married. God has to be the center of your family. He has to be the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus has to be the center of your children's life, and it has to be the parents that institute that in our family. If we're going to build a godly legacy, my friend, listen, we got to do that by making our family, by making Jesus in the middle of our family. And that's what I'm doing, my friend. That's what I'm doing. I'm putting Jesus at the center of my family. Listen, it blesses my heart to see my daughters growing up in the things of God. Celestia's turned 20 years old, and you know while other kids are going off to college and finishing university and doing this, that, and the other, listen, you know, she's so a young woman of God.
Yes.
And you know, the thing is sometimes it's like, you know, it's like everybody celebrates, oh, they're going to college, oh, they've got a career, oh, yeah, my daughter says, and my kid says, he's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's in great, praise God if they are. But the greatest joy for me,
come on,
yeah, yeah, so my daughters are young women of God.
Amen.
That's the greatest. Listen, the greatest joy for any man of God or woman of God is not that their children become in a career or a doctor or a lawyer. No, but that they become men and women of God. Young men, young women of God. Young men of God. Because listen, I've never heard a parent be proud of their kids saying, my son's growing up to be a great young man of God.
Wow.
In church, yeah. But when does the world celebrate that?
Come on now. Talk about it.
Who cares if they become, a great politician, but yet, come on, somebody, they're a crooked politician.
Wow.
Who cares if they be some great lawyer, but a crooked lawyer? Who cares if they became a great doctor, but have no morals and cheating on his wife? And come on, somebody.
Wow. Oh, exposed right there. Come on.
Huh?
It's good.
For a Christian man or a Christian, for a Christian parent, our desire should be that we raise godly children. And the only way we do that is by making sure that we have a godly family unit, my friend. And how do you do that? How have I been doing that? I've been doing it by keeping Jesus at the center of my family. By prayer, yes, by getting up in the morning and praying for my family and watching my children see me pray. They know that daddy's praying. When they go to my room, they know daddy's praying. Don't bother daddy. Why? Because I'm building a godly legacy. They know that on Friday night we're going to be in church. They know that on Sunday morning we're going to be in the house of God. They know that throughout the week we're about the ministry. We're about building the kingdom of God. And they're seeing daddy and they're seeing mommy and they're seeing what we're about. And you know what? They're learning it alongside of us. This is why Frankie's drumming. This is why Alexis is going to the UTC in Panama, because we're building a godly legacy, my friends.
Good.
What good is it if I push them to go to college to become this great doctor, this great lawyer, this great whatever, but yet their marriage falls apart?
Wow.
They're brokenhearted because their children are in the world. Listen, we could teach anybody anything. We could teach anybody. We could teach you to be a doctor. We could teach you to be, you know, that's learned stuff.
That's right.
It's the inner things.
Come on.
It's the heart things.
Come on,
it's good. The moral things.
Good.
Huh?
Holy Spirit.
We got to build. If we're going to build a godly legacy, we got to build godly families.
Wow.
Good. Godly families within the church, within the body of Christ. Secondly, or thirdly, the, Third F is faithfulness. In verse 3 it says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. Faithfulness. Gaius had a testimony of being faithful. Gaius had a testimony of being faithful. You know where my wife found a faithful husband?
Come on.
In church.
Come on. That's right.
You know why she married me?
Come on, Pastor.
You know why I married her? I married her because I seen that she was faithful to church.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on. She was faithful to God.
Yes. It's good.
She was faithful to prayer.
It's good.
She was faithful at the altar praying. And we seen each other. I came into the ministry 2002. We didn't get married to 2007. For 5 years, she looked at me and I looked at her, not in a lustful way, in a friendship way first. But every time I seen her, she seen me. We were at prayer, an hour early for prayer. We were there at the offering basket with our tithes and offerings.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? We were there in our ministry, faithful.
It's good.
I seen her for 5 years be faithful. She seen me for 5 years be faithful. This is why I knew she would be a faithful wife.
It's good. It's good, Pastor.
Come on now.
You want a faithful woman of God, man of God. Learn to be faithful first.
Come on now.
And keep your eyes open and mark the faithful man. Mark the faithful woman.
It's true. Powerful.
Well, Pastor, there's not enough, you know, girls and gals in the church. We'll pray for the pond to get bigger. And help the pond get bigger.
Come on now.
Get in the drama. Help somebody. That's when we throw the net. Mass evangelism. The problem is, you want to do one-on-one fishing.
Oh!
Pastor said, I need to go get me mine.
Come on,
I brought him, Pastor. I got me a big one.
Come on.
Okay, now you got to watch for 5 years to be faithful.
Come on.
Okay, at least 2 years. You won't know somebody's faithful in 6 months, 3 months.
Right.
Even a year. I did 2 years standing on my head in prison.
Come on.
Oh, come on, somebody. A lot of us did time in prison. We did a year like that in prison. Come on, somebody.
That's right. Not enough time.
Even when you see guys graduate the home or women graduate the home, that don't mean that. You got to wait to see if they're going to be faithful in the church.
Yeah. Right. Come on now.
I was in the home. My wife didn't give me no lick of time when I graduated the home.
Come on.
She's seen too many guys graduate the home.
Yeah.
A year. And then you know, graduates too, second phase too. That don't hooray me.
That's right, Pastor.
What hoorays me is, let me see you do a year in the church now.
Yeah.
Let me see you be a faithful at the altar, faithful in your giving.
Yeah.
Be a man of integrity in your finances. Be a man of integrity, and let me see you be faithful and not get caught up on Facebook and get caught up on, you know, in pornography and get caught up in.
That's good.
Stuff.
Come on.
Be faithful. Gaius had a testimony of being faithful.
Wow.
She married me, and I married her because we had testimonies of being faithful.
Good.
We were faithful to God, faithful to our leaders, to our pastor, faithful to our church, faithful to our ministry.
Right. Come on now.
We didn't quit every time we our ministry. We didn't quit just because things didn't go our way, just because they didn't take our idea, just because we got hurt, just because we got rebuked. No, we got rebuked and we kept on being faithful.
On
no, we didn't get our way and we kept on being faithful.
That's right, amen.
That's what being faithful is.
Yes.
If we're going to build a godly legacy, we're going to build it through faithfulness. Through faithfulness. Gaius, he was known as a faithful man. I want to be known as a faithful man. I want to have people in our church. Oh, that when the other church is looking to our church, they say that person's been faithful. Joel's been faithful. Irvin's been faithful. Angel's been faithful. That girl's been faithful. That guy's been faithful. I don't know who they are, but I see they're faithful. They're there with you, Pat. They're at every event. They're at every mighty man. They're right there holding it down because they're faithful. If we're going to build a godly legacy, it's not going to be by being unfaithful, but it's going to be by being faithful. Faithful. I told you a long time ago, you have to have a faithful face. There's a lot of backsliders that will leave, but when they come back, where they see a faithful face. They know Pastor's going to be here. They know Sister Sylvia's going to be here. But when they know you're going to be here. See, they know we're going to be here. It doesn't mean nothing for us to be here. But for you to be here, you say, wow, they were here when I left and they're still here. And they've grown. Look at their grown. Look, they're doing pulpit work. Look, they're being used here. Look, they're being used there. Look, man, they didn't used to pray on the altar, but now they're praying on the, and they see a faithful face.
Hey, come on now.
That's how we're going to build a God. There's a lot of faithful faces in East Dallas. A lot of faithful faces. A lot of faithful faces around the outreach. But it's time for us here in Grand Prairie. We have to be those faithful faces. To say por vida. For the long haul.
Amen.
You're going to build your family around Christ. Listen, building it around the church is important. Because it's here where your kids are going to grow and be challenged in the ministry. They're going to learn about Jesus. And not only they're going to learn about Jesus, but their faith is going to be challenged to grow. And lastly, fruitfulness. The piano player can come up. Fruitfulness. Verse 6 says, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together, so that we may work together for the truth. So that we may work together for the truth. Listen, our work produces results.
That's right.
Those results is our fruits. What we do brings results and fruits. What we do, listen, everything we do brings results and it brings fruits. Like I said, you know, it was probably like the greatest turnout. I was a little bummed out. I even told my wife, I said, man. She said, you know, don't worry about it, honey. She said, you know, I didn't come to church till many, many dramas.
Yeah.
She used to come to all the dramas. She never went to church. She would just go to the dramas, my wife. She was known as the drama girl. When Victor Arch had a drama, there was Sylvia. Pastor Jesse would say in her cheerleading outfit. And she'd get mad. It wasn't cheerleading, Pastor Jyoti. But there she was, you know, little Sylvia, you know, high school, you know, drill team outfit at the drama. But she would have never come to church. You know, it was until later. She finally started coming to church. After many, many dramas. Many, many dramas. Then she started coming to church. But yet, they never stopped doing the dramas. They never stopped doing the rallies. They never stopped doing evangelism. They never stopped loving the city. See, because our work, listen, it may be slow. It may be slow. We may grow slow, but we're going to grow strong.
Amen.
And we must not grow weary. We must not grow weary.
Yes.
We must continue to labor in love.
Amen.
We can't grow weary, church. We got to continue. We got to continue. Continue. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap a harvest if you faint not." We will reap a harvest of a godly legacy. We will reap a harvest of a godly legacy. We will be fruitful. But listen, it takes work. If we're going to build a godly legacy, it's going to take work. It's going to take us continually putting our hands to the plow.
That's right.
It's going to continue to take us getting involved in discipleship. Through life flow and life groups and leadership trainings and sending people to the UTC and sending people to the MTC. We're in a place. We're ready, man. We're ready to give birth. We're going to launch out of church. We're going to send people to the MTC. It's going to take place. It doesn't matter if we don't have 100, 200 people. We're still going to launch out churches. We'll still launch out churches. I'm still going to. And after Josh, we're going to launch out somebody else. And from now, once we launch out him, every 2 years, we're going to have to give birth. We're going to have to give birth. I don't care if I have to kick you out. I don't care if I have to, tie you to a city, handcuff you to a city. I'll go over there and handcuff you to a city. I'll go to a city and make you run this church. Well, now you really got scared. Don't send me. Send me. Don't leave me here. We're going to launch out churches.
Amen.
Because we're talking about leaving a godly legacy.
Yes.
A godly legacy. A godly legacy. Reproduce ourselves. Reproduce godly men, godly women. It's working. It's working.
Amen.
It's working. Look at you. Huh? You came in all messed up.
Come on now.
You came in all in the world. You came in all addicted and afflicted.
Yes.
But look at you now. Amen. Look at you now. It's working. It's working, huh? You know, we had to fight a little bit. It's all right, man. We just keep it. It's working.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Yes.
It's working. And we're going to continue to reap it. And then it's going to become faster. It's going to become faster because as you catch it, you're going to catch it more. You've caught it now, but you're going to catch it even more, and we're going to start reproducing even more faster. And we're going to multiply ourselves, and we're going to continue to build a godly legacy.
Right.
A godly legacy. A godly legacy. People that honor God with their life. Your children, our children. Listen, the gang's coming up, man. The gang. The kids gang. The kids gang. You know, they're coming up, and they ain't going to have all the issues we have. So they're going to catch it even faster. They're going to help us build a godly legacy.
Huh?
Let's continue to build a godly legacy. Continue to build a godly legacy. Stick it out. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be fruitful. Be a friend. Be part of the family. Be part of the family. Build the family of God. I'm not saying not be proud of your name. Be proud. Amen. Be a Perez, a Segoviano, a Martinez, whatever. Amen. Amen. But remember that blood, the blood of Jesus.
Right.
The blood of Jesus is stronger. The blood of Jesus unites us.
Come on. That's good.
The blood of Jesus unites us. We may not spend eternity with some of our family, but we're going to spend each other with each other. We're going to spend eternity with each other. We're going to be in heaven. Oh, check it out. That's my brother. That's my real brother right there. We're in the same church. We're in the same ministry. You're going to talk to Peter. No, yeah. You're cool, Peter, but that's my bro right there. B-O-G-P. And then he's going to be like the 12 EK. OGP, man. And then Jesus is going to come and snap out of it, you guys. You're Christian.
Come on.
But we're family. We're going to build a godly legacy. This godly legacy is so powerful. This godly legacy, it's for your future. It's for your children's children. It's for some of your cousins. It's for some of your neighbors. It's for your children. It's for your son's future wife. For your son's future daughter's future husband.
We don't come on somebody.
That's right.
It's good.
It's for them. And then it's going to bless you. Because your kid, you're going to see our kids in the room. I know it's in the future, but they're going to get married at the altar.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it's going to bless your heart that they're getting married in the church.
Amen.
Because
right.
you did something right.
Amen.
Because you brought them around the family of God.
Yeah.
And you're going to be glad they might even marry somebody in the church.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank God, because I didn't want them to marry a heathen from the world. This is why it's so important you invest in the church.
Right.
It's so important to invest in the church. Pray for the church.
Yes.
Become a leader. Make disciples. Be a good leader to make good disciples.
Yes.
Be in the children's ministry and teach the children because you might be teaching your future son-in-law. You might be teaching your future daughter-in-law. You better teach her right, man. Are you hearing me? We're building a godly legacy. A godly legacy. It's gonna happen. We're gonna grow. It's gonna happen.
Man,
we're gonna grow. The pond's gonna. You singles, yeah. Pray. The church should grow because you're praying for the pond to get bigger.
Hello.
You're on the streets every day. You're sowing future seeds.
Come on now.
Some of you, your wife and husband, they're in another state, another country, bro.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're waiting for you to go to the MTC.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're waiting for you to go to a crusade.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Come on, Pastor.
Some of you, you're not even going to get married. You don't even want to get. You want to be single for Jesus.
Come on.
Okay, I ain't gonna hold you. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Pastor Jerome Carradine, pastor from Atlanta, he's a single pastor. Great church. Great. Big church. That brother, man, he's probably almost a millionaire. And he's not like a TV preacher. He's a Victory Outreach pastor.
Yeah.
I won't say he's a man, but he's blessed.
Amen.
He, you know those big shopping centers?
Yeah.
Like they have multiple. He owns a whole lot of it. His church. He has the men's home, the women's home, and his church.
Amen.
And all kinds of stuff. Blessed. Because he honors God. He said, you know what? I don't need a wife. I'll go out and take a city by myself. And he did. And he's launched out for other pastors. There's others that are in the missionary field, single, and they're blessed. They love it. They get the child. They ain't got nobody to tell them what to do. Come on, somebody, but Jesus and their leader and their pastor. They're blessed. It's all right. And then some. God knows the desires of your heart.
Amen.
Look at Irvin. And Amy and Pastor Josh.
Yeah,
we didn't think they were ever going to get married. People thought I was never going to get married. They were tripping out when they seen me and Sylvia together. They said, we didn't even know you guys would like each other. I said, we didn't either. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, have your way, Holy Spirit. Fill this room, fill this room. Fill this house. Fill your people. Fill us up, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, fill us with vision. Fill us with vision. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with power. Fill us with faithfulness. Fill us, God. Fill us. Make us fruitful. Let us not grow weary. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Build a godly legacy here in Victory Outreach Cranberry. Build a godly legacy in every family. Build a godly legacy in every marriage. Build a godly legacy in every family unit. Lord God, we want to make an impact. We want to make an impact, God. We want to be known, God. We want to be known.
We want to be known as people that left a godly heritage. We want to be known, God, as people that left behind some disciples and we trained some leaders and we left behind, God, Lord, some missionaries and some evangelists and some apostles. Lord God, that when we get to heaven, God, nothing else is going to matter. Our career is not going to matter. How many houses we bought is not going to matter. Oh, but how many souls that got saved because of our works, because of our fruit, because of our testimony, God. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, build us a godly legacy here in our church. A legacy that will outlive us and outlast us. Oh, for your honor and for your glory. Hallelujah. Tonight, if the Lord spoke to your heart, I'm going to open up these altars. You come and say, you know what, that's me. I'm going to build a godly legacy. I want to help build a godly legacy. Oh, I'm tired of running. I surrender. I'm going to do everything that God has called me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes! Seriousness, oh, it's gonna bless your whole life. Not just your life, but your family, your children. It will outlive you. It will outlive you. Pastor Sonny, he's living, but he's left a legacy. He's left a legacy already. See, somebody who's left a legacy, they're considered a legend almost. Legendary. And already because of the greatness, because of just everything that God has used through Pastor Sonny, done through Pastor Sonny. He's already left a godly legacy. Pastor Ed left a godly legacy. Billy Graham left a godly legacy. David Wilkerson left a godly legacy. What will you leave behind? What will I leave behind? If I leave behind your church, Greg Berry, I can leave a Lakani legacy. This church is going to outlast me. I'm the pastor while I'm here on earth, while Jesus decides for me to be here on this earth. But when he decides to take me, if the rapture doesn't happen, God's going to raise up, he's going to bring another pastor. He's going to raise somebody up. Whether through the midst of us, your brothers and sisters, or through our ministry, that they will send the pastor. But that's not going to happen soon. Hello, somebody. Unless the rapture comes and we all go with Jesus. You know? But even then, this will last. Will last. And listen, it will last because you will remain faithful. Your children will remain faithful. It's beyond us, church. It's just not about 2019. It's beyond 2019. We have to think like that. We have to grow. This is why every decision you make, I'm not talking about just the adults, I'm talking about you teenagers, you gang, you young adults. You gotta think about it now. Think about your future now. Think about, do you want to have a godly marriage? Or do you want to have a marriage from the ghetto and the barrio? You want to have, quit looking at TV, man. We're looking at social media.
It's good. Come on.
You're getting a glimpse. You're getting a minute, a second of that person's life.
Right.
Wow.
That's right. I read a post today that was talking about they seen this one lady. She went to the swimming pool with a bunch of toys and her kids just for a photo op. And she posted having a great time with the kids. But as soon as she took the picture, she walked away.
Come on.
She left. Not once did she play with her kids in the swimming pool.
Wow.
It was just a photo op.
That's right.
Wow. But yet they say, like, oh, but on Facebook, everybody's looking at those pictures, and all the other moms are looking at those pictures. Oh, she's such a great mom.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm such a horrible one. That's fake.
Come on.
Build a true godly legacy.
Amen.
To build a true godly legacy, it's going to take work. It's going to take your praying, a lot of prayer, a lot of getting into your word, a lot of coming to church, a lot of fighting temptation, a lot of fighting the enemy. But you know what? In so doing, as your kids and family see you fight, guess what? You're teaching them to fight.
Amen. Good.
You're teaching them to fight.
Yes.
You're building a godly legacy.
Amen.
You want to do that?
Amen.
Repeat this prayer. Say, God.
Here I am.
Standing in your presence.
Standing in your presence.
Build me.
Build me.
So I can build them.
So I can build them.
I want to leave.
I want to leave.
A godly legacy.
A godly legacy.
Behind.
Behind.
Help me.
Help me.
To make the right decisions.
Make the right decisions.
And the right choices.
The right choices.
Lead me.
Lead me.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Through the Scriptures.
Through the Scriptures.
Through my leaders.
Through my leaders.
Through my pastors.
Through my pastors.
Lead me.
Me.
Help me to be open to the influence of the Holy Spirit through the Holy Scriptures and your leaders. You're the fivefold ministry through the pastors, evangelists, apostles, teachers. God, help me, God. Build me up, build me up. I want to leave a godly legacy behind in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus, I don't know. They're trying to wave me down for an announcement, but I don't understand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You have a good time tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, Sunday morning we have service. Amen. And then also, oh, we have a birthday in the house.